Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, the place where it's all about duty, honor, and country, the place for American patriots to come together as one united people. Today is Monday, April 8th, 2013. My name is Sally Baptist, and thank you for tuning in. Tonight, we're going to be discussing a wide variety of issues, but it all centers around, will Americans surrender to the United Nations One World Government? Will Americans surrender to the United Nations One World Government? As part of the discussion, we're going to talk about, have we already done this to some degree? How much have we already surrendered? But first, before we get into that discussion, I wanted to let everybody know, as I told you, things are going to be changing here at American Statesman Blog Talk Radio. So first thing, starting this week on Wednesday at 8 p.m., we are going to have a new weekly report called Truth About Education. Diane Kepis is going to be the host for the show. Education is one of her things where she just has so much information, talking about Common Core, C-Scope, everything about this indoctrination, what's going on here locally in Florida as far as public policy, what's happening across the nation as well, and she's going to be bringing some guests on to talk more about it. People have to understand what this is and how another piece of will we surrender to the United Nations One World Order, where we're going to surrender the children to living in communism. Your children's children will be living in a communistic society, unless we change things. So Diane Kepis is going to be doing that, and we do start that this Wednesday at 8 p.m., starting an hour later. Hopefully that's going to help people a little be able to participate a little bit more on it and learn what is really going on in public education. The other thing, just a reminder, excuse me, I mentioned this last Thursday, that this Thursday's show we're going to address notary fraud here in Florida. Does being a Florida notary public give you a license to commit fraud? And what is being done? Why is Florida number one in identity theft and property theft? How much of the mortgage fraud is related to notaries participating in fraudulent activities? So Thomas Pastore, he's going to be on. He's done an investigative report on this, and he's going to go over that. And I've encouraged people to really tune in and learn about this because people think that notary stamp means everything on that paperwork. And right now it pretty much does. Excuse me. It pretty much does. And the truth of the matter is there's here in Florida, very, very little oversight of these notary publics. And when you go through and you see, when you find out, you're going to say, well, is it a license to commit fraud? It kind of seems that way. It doesn't look like anybody's paying attention to what these people are doing. But anyway, so we'll get into that on Thursday. And then next week we will start the weekly transportation report. And I'm going to start it right now. It's still the actual timeline. I am thinking of doing it on Thursdays at 9 p.m., following another transportation show here in Blog Talk Radio called Truth About Trucking. This way we can have the truckers out there listening and also share the information with everybody. So right now I will probably do that on Thursday at 9 p.m., and that will be the weekly transportation report. And then Mondays will continue to be an open forum. We'll discuss whatever the issues are of the day or whatever we want to talk about. But when we talk about will Americans surrender to the United Nations One World Government, transportation is another piece of that. Here we have foreign companies, foreign entities owning our highway infrastructure, not to mention they're just being used as a cash cow to tax people to death. And right now, getting together with some people here in Florida, and again, we'll talk more about this next week on the transportation report, because public-private partnerships violate the state constitution. It's not appropriate for the government to go into business with a private sector, a for-profit business with a private sector here in Florida. It's called collusion of the government and the private sector. one world order, one world government. This is the way the government takes over, commingles everything together, and takes over the private sector as well. So we'll get into the details of that. Now, regarding some things that have happened today, or just recently, well, most of you probably heard Margaret Thatcher had passed away. She was quite an amazing lady. She was truly inspirational and believed in the private sector, believed in capitalism, and was a very wonderful person. Her and Ronald Reagan, they were major in so many respects. In reference to the Cold War, ending the Cold War, and various things on the economy in both worlds, both the countries. So it's been sad. There's been a lot of information out there. If anybody wants to discuss anything about what the role and the legend of Margaret Thatcher, they're more than welcome to call in and discuss that. The other is, John McCain, true to form. Oh, my goodness. Everybody should call John McCain's office. Call every one of his offices, his D.C. office, every office in Arizona. Fax them, email them. And just tell him he's just nothing but a liberal progressive traitor. You know, I just used to have so much respect for John McCain, and I admired the fact he had been a POW and what he suffered, how he sacrificed to protect our country. And he did do that at one point, but he's totally lost these days. His actions are treasonous. I mean, so many of the things he wants, anti-Constitution, anti-Americans, he's disgusting. And what... on one of the shows, I think it was Face the Nation, one of these Sunday shows, he was out there, excuse me, they were talking to him about the gun control, the filibuster. And he says he doesn't understand why they would filibuster. Well, Mr. McCain, if you truly don't understand why they would filibuster, then you don't understand what goes on in the Senate. Maybe you're suffering some kind of Alzheimer's or something where you've been in that Senate too long and you no longer can remember what's going on around you or something, because the filibuster has been there for a very long time, and you as a seasoned senator should know what filibuster is. So why you don't understand it, why you don't understand why people might want to protect the Constitution, what part of this are you confused about, Mr. McCain? I just don't understand. And you will truly never know. Truly never realize how much respect I used to have for you, how much I used to admire you, the maverick, the way you really did seem to stop the wasteful spending, and how you seemed to truly believe in the Constitution, but that's not there anymore. Yeah, you're just not that person anymore. You have changed. I don't know what changed you. I can't explain all that. And if you ever decide you want to call in on American Statesman Blog Talk Radio and tell us, you are more than welcome. You are invited to do so. But right now, as it stands, you know, I don't understand you. I don't know what country you work for. You definitely don't work for the American people. You and Lindsey Graham together, who are supposed to be such conservatives, you're not. You're rhinos. Rhinos, and as I call you today, you are POGs. G-O-P equals P-O-G. Piece of garbage. Nothing personal there, except, well, I should say it is personal. You don't believe in this country. You don't believe in the Constitution. The crap you're doing with immigration, you don't believe in this country. The crap you're doing with the Second Amendment, you don't believe in this country. You have violated your oath of office, which just for the heck of it, in case you're out there listening, let me remind you what your oath of office is. So it's the oath for the senators. I do solemnly swear or affirm that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, that I take this obligation freely without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion, and that I will well and faithfully discharge the duties of my office on which I am about to enter, so help me God. Okay, that's what you swore to do. And there's that part about support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Do you understand what that means, Mr. McCain? I don't think you do. Again, call in. You can call us here at 347-857-4364. 347-857-4364. And press 1 so that we know you want to speak on the air. And tell us, prove to us that you believe in this oath of office. Prove to us you believe in the Constitution. Prove to us you believe in the American people. Because right now, I just don't see it that way. You're out there supporting illegal immigration, and you're definitely out there ready to take our guns away. You probably support Common Core for Education. You probably support the United Nations One World Order. I don't know. Explain yourself anytime you'd like. And the other thing that was happening, excuse me, I don't have all the details in front of me, but there was a German family, legal immigrants who came here to the U.S. because in Germany they still do not allow homeschooling. This is still the prohibition of homeschooling is still out there, and this family did not like what was happening in the public education system, so they came to America to educate their children, and then they were told they couldn't do that either. Can you imagine? Here we are in the United States of America, homeschooling. They're trying to stop homeschooling. And again, this is why the Whimsy reports on the truth about education is going to be so important, and why education is so important, the dumbing down of Americans. The dumbing down of Americans has been going on for a long time, but they're taking it to the next level where the federal government truly takes over educating the people, basically takes over the rights of parents to educate their children and to raise their children. This is all going back to what they have done for years in Russia and China, the indoctrination of the children. And this is, again, why it's important to tune in on Wednesday. Like I say, we're starting a new show. This is going to be every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Diane Kepis is going to be the host, and Truth About Education. You have to understand what the truth about education is and how it's critical that we start turning this around and educating our children the way we need to. Stop the indoctrination. Stop the socializing and the communistic takeover of America through the youth. And like I said, and Diane has so much information, and she will be having some special guests during her in the discussion. So please tune in on that to Wednesday at 8 p.m. Okay, but going back to this German family, can you truly just imagine that this is happening in the United States? And I mean, this is happening at a higher level, too. They are taking away the rights of the parent. It's all part of the Agenda 21, sustainable development, one world government, where literally they are saying, you know, at a certain age, when this child is 4 years old, whatever it may be, when they go into a preschool or kindergarten or something, they're going to be diagnosing the child for what the child should do in the society. Just like what happens in a communist society. They're told, okay, well, this is where you fit. This is what you're going to do. Here's what your role in society is going to be. No free will. So your children's children, if we don't change our ways, your children's children will be living in communism right here in the good old USA, and education is that piece of it. The other thing, excuse me, don't mean to keep coughing. Getting back to tonight's topic, will Americans surrender to United Nations One World Government? Haven't we already surrendered a lot? When you think about everything that's happening, what has happened, how much have we already surrendered to this One World Government? And what are we going to do? Do we have enough people to actually have a second revolution to take back this country? We still can't get answers on Benghazi. They're taking away, again, our rights to educate our people, the dumbing down of the society. They're taking over. I mean, there's so many pieces to this. When you think about, will we surrender? And I can't stress enough that when I make such a statement, will Americans surrender to the United Nations One World Government? I know there's some of you out there that would immediately say, well, that's crazy. What are you talking about? Nothing like that can happen here. This is the United States of America. We're not going to fall. We're the supreme power out there. Who can do that? It's not going to happen. Well, if that's the kind of thing that you're saying, please go back and study some history. Go study the fall of the Roman Empire. Go study what our founding fathers warned us about. And then also think about what happened on 9/11. So do you truly believe we can't fall? You truly believe no one's going to take us down or would want to? That we can always do everything? We cannot defend ourselves if we are a divided nation. And we are a very divided nation right now. The political factions are part of it. And then you have the ethnic groups, the Hispanics. We're not united as one people. And we obviously have various groups of Islamists that don't like us either. So within, there's a cancer within this country, the antis, as I call them, the anti-Americans who are in this country today, who continue to come in every day over a border because we have no security on the border. And you just can't go, you're not going to be able to defend yourself when half the people that are in your country, and half is, I don't mean it, it's not that many, but when you have a substantial amount of people within your own country, within your own homeland, who want to destroy you. Forget what's going on over on the other side of the planet. You know, those who want to destroy you from the east, just look what's happening right here. Look what happened at Fort Hood. And look at what the government did at Fort Hood. Look how they tried to diminish, refused to say it was an act of terrorism. It was an act of terrorism. And they wouldn't honor the Purple Heart to those who were sacrificed right here on the homeland. So when you think right here, we're so divided here on the homeland. And this is going to be a big challenge for us. Can we survive? Have we already surrendered? How much have we already surrendered? Obviously, there's plenty of people such as myself who have not surrendered to any kind of one world, United Nations, one world government, but there are many that have. The nanny state, the Bloombergs out there, these people who think that Bloomberg is right. How in the world can these people of New York keep that guy in there? And I tell you, I mean, it just amazes me to no end. New Yorkers, the ones who used to be so, I won't say irate, but grouchy, whatever, don't tell me what to do routine. They have caved in. You know, there's the highest tax, someone was saying, and I can't remember where I heard it, the highest tax states have the least freedom, the least liberty. And that it makes perfect sense. So you've got New York and California. So the more the government taxes you, the more control they have over you. And you're paying them to live. So then you become in this massive nanny state mentality. And Bloomberg, well, Bloomberg thinks he's the Messiah, the God, the whatever he thinks he is. He knows better. He's going to tell you what you should eat and drink every day. He's going to tell you what you need to learn in school. He's going to tell you what your job should be. He's going to tell you whether you should smoke cigarettes or not. You know, because you, the peasant, the American peasant, are just too stupid. That's what Bloomberg thinks. You're too stupid. Instead of using his millions and millions of dollars to help people who were taken advantage of by the banks, predatory lending practices that destroyed families, instead of doing something to help them, Bloomberg is out there campaigning, funding millions and millions of dollars into local campaigns, local elections all across this country to promote his agenda because he thinks he's some kind of Messiah or God or whatever that he knows better. Well, surely Bloomberg knows better than what you and me know, right? We're too stupid to know whether we want to drink a 16-ounce soft drink. So, okay, the people of New York have already surrendered. They've surrendered to one world government right there in New York City. Not all of New York, but New York City. Look how many people are there. So there's nothing there to fight. Forget the New Yorkers. And I'm talking about the New York City, primarily New York City. Not all of New Yorkers are this way. But when you're talking about those in the city of New York, the citizens there, they've surrendered the rights. They do whatever they're told to do by Bloomberg and company. That's why they're not going to have any guns. They're going to disarm themselves because Bloomberg is telling them, take away the guns. You don't know how to handle a gun. Well, the criminals will get the guns no matter what, but you, the stupid peasant, because that's the way they treat us, you stupid peasants don't need to have guns and you don't know what to do with them. So when the criminal comes up and blows your head off, you just stand there and look at them. That's what Bloomberg wants you to do. And that's what these other morons out there trying to destroy the Second Amendment want you to do. And then the when we talk about how much have we already surrendered, I personally believe many Americans have already been converted into socialist, communist, and don't even know it. And I'll talk again about people in New York City, not to mention those in California. These people who are out there saying, Obama gave me a phone, a free phone, a free phone, I want my free phone. And those who are saying, yeah, Bloomberg's right, we're too stupid to know how much we should drink in soft drinks. No, Bloomberg's right. He has to tell us what to eat. He has to tell us how to drive, how to live, what to smoke. You're already there. You're already a peasant, and you don't even know it. You truly are. You're a serf, a slave, peasant, whatever you want to call it. At the same time, you're out there, you're defending your right to have an abortion. Well, wait a minute. What point? Let's see, Bloomberg, he's going to start telling who's going to have an abortion and who isn't, based on whatever age you are or whatever situation you may be in. He's going to come down and tell you, well, and in this case, so-and-so, you're going to get the abortion. You don't have a choice. You're going to be told to. So what you think may be your right will now be your requirement, because Bloomberg will think he knows what you should do on that one, too, because Bloomberg knows everything. He knows what's best for the peasants, and he knows what's best for the peasants all across this country. Then we go into the other aspects of how we've already been taken over. The federal government, look at how many ways the federal government has already taken over state sovereignty, which it looks like I spelt it wrong in my email, in my show page here. Better go fix my spelling there. But we truly have had the federal government take over state sovereignty. Of course, the federal government could not have done this alone. This could only happen with the help of those in the state legislatures, those in public, in local government. Remember, they say everything is local. Well, we have it right here in Florida. Rick Scott, one minute he's against Obamacare, the next minute he's for it. Then they're signing over education, the Common Core, which is the federal mandate. And this education, again, it's so critical. The last thing we need to do is dumb down the American people to rewrite history, saying American history started in 1863. There were no founding fathers, and that Americans are bad. Americans are terrorists. The Boston Tea Party was a terrorist event. But this is all being allowed to happen because state sovereignty. States have given up their rights to over-education. They want the money from the federal government. And that's all it's about. They want the money. These people do not represent the best interest of the American people. They do not represent the best interest of the people of their state. How many of them are truly standing and opposing this kind of massive takeover with the federal government? And let me see here. As I'm going back and forth, I'm going to check the chat room and see who's all out there. Okay, we do see some people out there, and if you're out in the chat room, please feel free to post any comments. You're more than welcome, anything you want to talk about. And, of course, you're welcome to call in, 347-857-4364, 347-857-4364. Make sure you press 1 to speak in on the show. If you do not press 1, I am just going to watch you out there and let you listen to the show and not bother you. Okay. And then we get back to the federal government and this thing about the federal government taking over state sovereignty. Remember what it said in the Americans' Creed, that one line in there? A sovereign nation of many sovereign states. A sovereign nation of many sovereign states. We are no longer a sovereign, we no longer have sovereign states. The federal government, at the hands of the federal government and the states, have totally colluded together. And the states mean nothing. The states are controlled by the federal government. The federal government was supposed to be there for those key things like the military, national defense. And while we have the greatest military, we have a federal government that refuses to secure the borders. And so the most highest protections that the federal government is supposed to do, they don't do. Yet they're out here dictating. And, oh, I guess I better go ahead and mention this one. I'm sure many of you heard it this week, this past week, something about Obama's launching a new program to teach people how to manage their money. The federal government that's how many trillions in debt, deficit spending and in debt, is going to teach Americans how to manage their money. Could there be a more ridiculous statement? Could anybody explain to me how Obama thinks he's going to teach anyone about managing their funds after what the federal government does and what the states do? The states aren't as bad because they do have to have a balanced budget. But here, you know, Obama's 2 months behind, the White House occupier, is 2 months behind on getting his budget out there. And his budget calls for another massive, massive tax increase, which Margaret Thatcher was a big one to say that the tax increases was destroying them, their middle class. And she got rid of them, just like Reagan. He increased some taxes, but unchanged other ones. So taxes are not the solution, but that's what the White House occupier wants to do. And then as part of this takeover of the states, education, we were talking about that earlier, Common Core, massive communistic indoctrination of the people, taking over the will of the people. You will no longer raise your own kids. Your child will not have the will or have the option to make their decision of what they want to do. They will be told what to do because they will be taken away from the family at a very young age, put into education. And it's the states who are supposed to be over education. But right now we've got the all these various states, the brainwashing of Common Core, making it sound like we want to make it sure everybody has the right education, race to the top kind of thing, compete, or whatever the other one's called, something about compete. All these things all sound so wonderful, like they're going to do so much for the American children, when in fact it's a massive indoctrination and a massive dumbing down and controlling of the people. That's what Common Core is. And we've got people in Tallahassee right now out there fighting, promoting this stuff. And I can't stress enough, you need to listen to Wednesday's reports with Diane Kifas because she's got so much of this information and she will be bringing others on to tell you about it. Most Americans have no clue what's happening with education. And you think about what Hitler did in the past. What is the way you control a society? You dumb down the people, you disarm them, you control the food supply, you control transportation, you control communication. These most basic things right there. And that's what's happening to this society. That is what is happening to the American people. And so many American people, I want to call them sheeple, because not out of disrespect, but that's what they've become. They become sheeple. They forget what their role is in the society, and they just do as they're told. They do what Bloomberg tells them to do. They do what the White House occupier tells them to do. The 300 million people, the 300 million Americans versus 545 unethical politicians. These unethical politicians are destroying this country, and 300 million people are letting them do it. There's just something so sad here. And we go into, okay, the federal government takes over education. Federal government disarms the American people. Another key element to one world order. Literally, you go out there and you do the research on your own. I don't have the links here and haven't posted anything in the chat room. But you go out there, you will see number one way you control the people is to disarm them. That's why the Second Amendment was so important. This weekend I was having breakfast over at the Cracker Barrel. And Cracker Barrel, which, by the way, I want to make sure I put this out there, has started promoting Made in America, Made in the USA. They actually have a kiosk or a stand display of Made in the USA, and which I think is great because Cracker Barrel was definitely a true American success story. And they had this, and while I was there shopping and looking at some of these things and, of course, buying a couple of them, I'm speaking with a lady, and we're just talking what's going on with our country today. And then she tells me when we say something about the Second Amendment, she mentions that I should go talk to this one worker. He was working the register, the cashier, and his name was Jason. So you need to go talk to Jason, and because he's quite adamant about the Second Amendment. And, of course, it was a little bit of a joke and kind of teasing the guy. And I go up there, and, you know, he's a college student, and he's actually looking to get into the Air Force. And he told me, I'm not going to get in the Air Force to have to fight for my constitution if I'm going to have a government that doesn't believe in it, which he's got a very good point. But anyway, I went in and I went up and was talking to him and said, I understood that he was pro-gun control, obviously twisting the words of what his true intent was, and just kind of egging him on, if you will. Very polite. He was never once got annoyed, but he went in to explain to me what the Second Amendment was all about. And it was very encouraging to hear a younger person actually understand what the Second Amendment is about. And when I was saying something, well, how much duck hunting does a person need to do? And, you know, the typical things that you when you understand the Second Amendment, you know what it isn't about. It isn't about duck hunting. It isn't about deer hunting, you know, and these kind of things. It's about personal self-defense and to defending yourself against a tyrannical government. Anyway, I spoke with this young man for quite a while, and it was just interesting, but he definitely understands what the Second Amendment is. And here he wants to join the Air Force, but right now he's actually hesitant to do it because of what's going on. We have a government that doesn't honor its own constitution. We have a treasonous traitor government in Washington, D.C., and at the various state levels. Not everybody in public office is a traitor. I wouldn't say that, but there are obviously a lot of them who are not what I would call statesmen either. Statesmen and stateswomen who truly, truly work on behalf of the people and govern by a state constitution and a federal constitution. They don't do it anymore. So the getting back to the Second Amendment, this is all about, once again, taking over the rights of the people. But, and look how many people, look how many Americans are actually willing to consider giving up their guns. Or the background check, this intrusive background check, which neither prove anything. Neither of these would have stopped what happened in Connecticut. Sandy Hook, it wouldn't have stopped it. It had nothing to do with it. But yet some people somehow think this is some magical pill or cure to what the problem is. The problem is the decline of a society, the moral values of a society, which is why in so many ways, you know what? If people don't know how to behave, then the government has to tell them. The government has to take away their guns, has to tell them what kind of soft drinks, has to tell them they can't smoke cigarettes, whatever. This is what socialism, communism is all about. We have to control the peasants. The middle class is dying out. The peasant class is growing. And that's where we are. So we can't let these peasants have guns. The illegals, the drug smugglers, all those folks, they're always going to have the guns. And this is the part that I can't quite understand with the geniuses of a Bloomberg out there. Okay, so the people who are breaking the laws today, who get guns illegally today, once you disarm the honest person, they're going to stop doing this, huh? And it's well known that there's more murders, more gun violence in gun-free zones than any place else. What don't these people understand? But more to the point, what do they understand? They want to control the peasants. And they treat the American people as a bunch of peasants. That's what they think we are. They're dumbing down. They know more. They are the elites. They can tell us. King Obama, White House occupier, he knows more than whatever you want to call what Bloomberg is. Messiah, God, whatever he thinks he is. It's just a sad state of affairs. So they do that to us, they disarm us. And then, of course, controlling the food supply. Look at all the things that are happening to the food supply, the chemicals, putting fluoride in the water to control the people. And all this genetically modified stuff they're doing with the food supply. It's not the, you know, all the discussion about type 2 diabetes. All you got to do is go look and see what's happened to the food supply to understand or appreciate really what's happened, what has been a major trigger to type 2 diabetes, if it's nearly the situation that they claim, which I think a lot of it is false. And I have my own reasons for saying that, but I won't get into that tonight. Then the federal government goes over and takes over transportation. That's why they want these stupid high-speed trains and ScamRail, SunRail here in Florida, better known as ScamRail. They want to control. They, as part of the United Nations One World Order, One World Government, Agenda 21, Sustainable Development, the peasants, the people are not allowed to own property. They're not allowed to own a car. A car is bad. So they're going to control when you come and go. They're doing it now. And look how many Americans are all jumping on board. Yes, we want a bullet train. Yes, we want ScamRail. Of course, here in Florida, the majority of people said no. We said we didn't want it. But, of course, the gods and the messiahs of Washington, D.C. and Tallahassee said, well, the peasants don't know what's really good for them. The peasants don't understand. So we're going to do this anyway, and we're going to shove this train down their throats, even though we know it won't solve transportation like we claim, but it gives us an option to control the people. Then we'll start playing games. We're going to keep adding toll taxes on the roads. We're going to increase every kind of tax you can imagine for transportation. We're going to increase the cost of gas. We're going to make it where it's impossible for them to own and operate their own personal transportation. And this way, we're going to supposedly clean up the environment. Trains are create a lot more pollution than what cars do, but we don't want to talk about the facts. The masters of, King Obama and company and all the other elitists in D.C. and in state capitals, they all know so much better. They know what's best for us. So they're going to protect us from ourselves. Well, just if we don't have cars anymore, there can't be any more car accidents. Blame it on the automobile for the car accident. Blame it on the gun for the killings. Don't blame it on the people. The people are peasants. They don't know better. So it takes these elitists who can tell us, who can actually tell us what we need to do, who can control us. And then we get into the illegal immigration. Why would the federal government promote the rights of illegals over Americans? And, of course, we do know Mr. Rubio is one of those. We know the POGs are all the GOP POGs, the POGs, piece of garbage. They will promote the illegals over the American people. They do it over and over again. You got John McCain, Lindsey Graham, Jeff Flake, and Marco Rubio of the Gang of Eight. And it's so interesting when you realize that Senator Jeff Flake and Senator John McCain both come from Arizona, a state that has been so victimized by illegal immigrants. And, of course, Rubio's right here in Florida. Now, Lindsey Graham, South Carolina, yes, they've had illegal immigrants in there too. But truly nothing the same to the three other states. The other three other senators with Arizona and Florida. Those two states have been much more sacrificed and harmed by illegal immigration. But Marco Rubio, being a POG, when he was the POG of the Florida, Speaker of the Florida House, he blocked 11 immigration bills. And I recently just learned, and I haven't gone out and actually read the article myself, but apparently there was a recent article in the Orlando Sentinel asking straight answers and politicians don't mix, something to that effect. Straight answers and politicians do not mix. And it was Scott Maxwell, I believe, who wrote it. A series of yes or no questions put to politicians. Rubio refused to answer any of them. What's the deal with illegal immigration? He won't answer. What about gay marriage? Won't answer. What about abortion? Won't answer. All these the yes or no questions. Do you support it? Yes or no. Do you support it? Yes or no. He wouldn't answer. What does it tell you about a so-called representative that won't answer the questions on what they believe in? Yes or no. Yes or no. Wouldn't do it. And I think you're really foolish if you think these people are going to be working on our behalf when it comes to this illegal immigration issue. So these are some of the biggies. There's other issues. We can talk about what the Patriot Act did. The Patriot Act destroyed our First Amendment rights. It's just all in the name of security. And that was King Bush who did that. But he didn't do it alone, no more than King Obama's doing this alone. You've got two houses of Congress who sit there, and then you've got the sovereign states who surrender their sovereignty for the money. They say, well, we'll give up our sovereignty so we can get some federal dollars. We'll surrender the sovereignty of a state so we can make some deals with a special interest who finance our campaigns. We're a bunch of treasonous traitor SOBs who don't care about the people, who don't care about the next generation. What's the difference of a politician and a statesman? Haven't said that in quite a while here, but that's what this show is all about. A politician works for the next generation. A politician works for the next election. A statesman works for the next generation. Don't let me get that one mixed up. The politicians are self-serving individuals. They could not care less about this country or the people. And I contest 90 to 95% of all elected public servants are politicians. Only a few, 5 to 10%, are true statesmen who truly govern by the Constitution at the federal level and at the state level. The rest of them, they just don't care. It's whatever's good for them because they know what's best. Their own personal wealth, and then throw a few bones to the peasants. Exactly what it is. And let me take another quick look over here at my chat room and see what's going on out there. Okay, again, if you want to put any comments out there, please feel free to do so. And if you'd like to call in and share your opinions on the stuff, you are more than welcome to do that too. So please do that. And let's get back in here. So, once again, 300 million Americans versus 545 politicians. 300 million Americans are being controlled by 545 politicians, self-serving, egotistical politicians, people who do not care about this country or the Constitution or anything else, and 300 million people are letting them do it. Now, not all of that 300 million are letting them do it. There's definitely a group of us, just like we are here on American Statesmen, fighting the cause, standing up for what's right, trying to enforce the Constitution and share that information. More importantly, is to bring Americans together as a united people. United we stand, divided we fall. We've got to get past all this divisiveness of what the politicians want. Politicians love divisiveness because that gives them power. You can control people when you split them up. When you go in out there and you convince so many people that they don't need the right to the Second Amendment, the right to bear arms, isn't significant and it's wrong and it's evil. When you're able to convince the dumbing down of individuals to not understand what the Second Amendment means, look at the control you have over them. Look what happens when these people surrender their guns, and they really don't even know it. And, you know, and this is so true. I was making reference to the New Yorkers. It's like, wow, New Yorkers used to be these people who really demanded all their rights and believed in something, but they're just a bunch of peasants now. And then somebody was talking, and they were going into the other ethnic groups. You talk about the illegals who come here, those who truly come here escaping the communistic, socialistic societies, like many from Mexico, but not just there. When they come here seeking some type of freedom, and, of course, what we've had happen with our own, with the African-American community, what the black people went through. Wait a minute, didn't you say you didn't believe in slavery? Wasn't that a bad thing? Well, what is it when you surrender your rights to the federal government? You are a slave. You're a serf. You're a peasant. So why do these factions seem to be so liberal, progressive, socialistic? I'll never understand how anybody who's black who would support destroying the Second Amendment. That was something that was done way, you know, they wouldn't even let Martin Luther King have a gun. How can you possibly support that? And they wouldn't let the blacks have a gun because they could defend themselves. They wouldn't let blacks read because they would gain knowledge and know what they could do. They would be empowered by knowledge and be empowered by having arms to protect themselves. They wouldn't do that. And look at everything we did to change that. But now the black community is ready to surrender these rights again. I don't get it. those who seem to have been sacrificed already in the past, who you would think would be the most adamant about protecting these rights, give up the rights, are ready to throw in the towel. Yes, we need background checks. Background checks, they don't mean anything. They don't prove anything. And especially when it comes to, people say, well, you got to do something about the people with mental illness. There are some, believe it or not, there are some rights to privacy. And when it comes to mental illness, right now there is a privacy. So you'd have to overturn all that privacy on that type of medical history to do that. The background check doesn't do anything for those problems. It's extremely bogus. It's extremely liberal progressive. It's extremely anti-American with what they're trying to do with everything to do with guns. But there again, we're the American people, especially those who have sacrificed or suffered so much in the past. It just amazes me to no end. Wait a minute. You said you wanted to be free. You said you didn't like slavery, which true Americans don't. But yet you're willing to surrender all your rights back to this government. Wait a minute. What part of this? You didn't want another individual owning you, but you want the government to own you. It makes no sense. It truly makes no sense. And then, of course, the other aspects of this, what happened to freedom of the press? It was back in, I think it was 1913, Woodrow Wilson created the press corps. And from that day forward, and he did it with the intention to manipulate the message, to control the message. From that day forward, little by little, there is no true freedom of the press. And we're going to get into a part of that discussion on Thursday, too, when we talk about the Notary Public situation. Because now the press is, in fact, it's part of the PR department for the government. They report what they're allowed to. The government says, well, if you don't say what I want you to say, we're not going to invite you in to the next interview. We're not going to give you that exclusive interview if you don't say what we want you to say. And Freedom of the Press was supposed to be the watchdog. Now they truly are just the PR department for the government. They are truly, they have become a de facto part of the government. So freedom of the press is totally, it's another reason why we're falling. It's another reason why we have surrendered our rights. When we allow the press corps, the garbage that goes on with this freedom of, with what's supposed to be the media, the watchdogs for the people, it's totally destroyed that piece of it, and it has become part of the government. And it doesn't matter what news station you watch, whether it's Fox News or whether it's MSNBC, which obviously those two are the extremes. But when you Fox News, which definitely is more conservative than the others, and you do need to listen to both if you want to have some idea what's being said on both sides, but then you have to go do your own homework to find out what the truth is. But the thing about Fox News, which frustrates me to no end, is that you know they're dictated to by the Republican Party, by the POGs, the GOP, POGs. They do what they're told. They will be out there promoting Rubio to the max. They will be out there trashing Rand Paul as much as they can possibly get away with it. They can't totally trash Rand Paul the way they may want to, and like they did with Ron Paul, because there's so much support for what Rand Paul is doing, the Stand With Rand thing. But you can be sure the POGs have already decided Rubio's going to be their guy, even though he's not legally eligible to be the president. That doesn't matter. I've heard Republicans in the past tell me, well, look who's in there now. Well, wait a minute. We've got one illegal president, so we should have another one? No. We should have learned something and not allow an illegal, or I say not illegal, but ineligible person to be president. Obama. King Obama is not illegal, but he's ineligible. He is not qualified by the Constitution to be the president. Neither is Marco Rubio. But going back to freedom of the press, Fox News is going to do what they can to promote him because that's what the Republican Party has told them to do. If they want to get that advertising money from the POGs, then they have to push the message the way they want to hear it. They have to slant the message as much as they possibly can to what they say. So there is no freedom of the press. Anybody believes there's freedom of the press, I've got swamp land on the North Pole to sell you, I guess. Okay, let's see. The other is honest representation. Do you truly believe that the 2012 election was honest. Do you truly believe that any one community should have 110% voter turnout? Or do you think there's something wrong? The elections are so corrupt, we don't have any honest representation. We are not represented. We do not have the representation of our choice. That is why Charlie Klein and I in the past have created the case We the People versus the Ballot Box Establishment. It was May 4th of last year. We hand delivered the complaint to the FBI office in Maitland, Florida, right here in the Orlando office, Maitland/Orlando, in the Maitland Center. They never refused it. They never rejected it. They just ignored us. They ignored the peasants. The FBI definitely has the right to investigate government corruption. That is one of their tasks, or that is one of their authorities, their jurisdictions. But they don't want to do that because it wouldn't be pretty. And probably because they would have their hands slapped. We can't support the people. Who's the FBI there for? Who are they really there for? And if they would have came back and gave any written explanation of why they refused to do it, then at least I could say, well, here's why they're refusing. They just totally ignored it. But they are going to get another copy in May. I've still got copies of it, and I'm going to be sending them out. They're going to hear it again. I will send it out certified or FedExed or whatever and have a signature for the record that they received it. And then we'll see what they say this time. Only this time I'm going to send it to a few more people. I wish I could afford to make like 1,000 copies and send it all over the place. I can't quite afford that much because these documents had approximately 178 pages of what was going on, the illegal monopoly of the two-party system, the corruption of the two-party system and control of state government here in Florida. Why does it cost over $10,000 to register to run as a party candidate? Why does it cost over $6,000 to run as a no-party candidate, and a no-party candidate's not allowed to be on the primary? Why do we have closed primaries? Why is anybody blocked from voting in the primary? It's because they control the elections. They control the ballot box. The sheeple, the peasants out here, we're not allowed to have the rights. We're not allowed to have representation of our choice. It's all window dressing. The election process has been so corrupted, we don't have the representation of our choice. That's why some of these people are in office for 30 to 40 years, career politicians that get so entrenched and so embedded in it, they control who pulls the money strings. They get into these chair positions of these committees, and they control everything. It's so anti-American. We do not have honest representation. We do not have the representation of our choice. These people are not honest. They don't. If they were honest, you would have to get rid of the Department of Education. There's absolutely no reason to have a federal Department of Education. The states do it. And you know what? If you don't like the education of the state that you live in, you move to another state. If you don't like the taxing policies and the health care policies of your state, then you move to another state. It's not the role of the federal government to take over the states, which is what they've done. And this all happens because of corruption at the ballot box. I have known so many people who were running for office the last couple of times, and of course I ran myself back in 2006. I ran for the local Orange County Mayor's office. That was the ultimate proof that the GOP is nothing but a bunch of POGs, POGs. The corruption of the Republican Party in the state of Florida is well known. These people, they control the elections. They control the people. We do not have the representation of our choice, and we don't have honest representation. And again, if you think we do, you are just drinking the Kool-Aid to the max. Please stop drinking the Kool-Aid. And then the last question is, well, whatever happened to being an American? What does it mean to be an American? It's nothing about being Hispanic. It's not about being Italian or Russian or Mexican or Canadian. It's about being Americans. Being united as one people, that which means you came from someplace else. America is the land of immigrants. It's the land of opportunity for all illegal immigrants. And this craziness of the AP saying they're not going to use the word illegal immigrants anymore. How nutsy is that? They can't say American either, I guess. The political correctness has gone nutso. We're not allowed to be honest Americans. We're not allowed to have free speech. Not allowed to drink a soft drink over 16 ounces. It's crazy. Absolutely crazy. I saw something today, and let me see if I can get to it. And before I do, I'll take one more quick peek over there in that chat room to see if anybody has any comments. And again, you are welcome to call in and share your opinions and views. And it's 347-857-4364. Just make sure you press 1 to be placed in the host queue to speak on the air. If I see you out there and you have not pressed 1, then I just let you stay there and listen, and that's okay too. Let me go over. This was from Karen Bracken. Karen Bracken is a true patriot. She's been involved in the discussion of education and also Agenda 21. And she sent out an email, "What is Happening to My Country?" That's what she's titled it, "What is Happening to My Country?" And she has a website called America Don't Forget. So www.americadontforget.com. And you can visit the information on Agenda 21 there. But her information here, it was kind of interesting, and it's so true. "I look at America today and I hardly recognize the country of my childhood. As much as I hate to admit it, there are people, a lot of people, that want nothing more than to see America crumble. Why? Some are jealous and feel that if they can't have what we have, then we shouldn't have it either." And right there, excuse me, those words right there. This is definitely not the country I grew up in. Public education has changed. I mean, just imagine they're teaching the public education system is teaching history starting at 1863. George Washington wasn't the founding father. They have trashed our history, and they believe we should all be equal in the sense that we a redistribution of wealth, social justice, that you should have this little, you know, they're going to tell you what kind of house you're supposed to have, how many kids you're going to be allowed to have, and what you're going to do when you work. And they're going to give you a bus ticket or a train ride to wherever you have to go. You are not going to have free will. That is what's happening right now. And why? Because some Islamists who don't believe that we have the right to be a free society, because we don't believe as they do, and it's their job to kill the infidels. What has happened to this country? And, you know, a long time ago, somebody said to me, "The same thing that makes you strong also makes you weak." And at the time, it didn't make sense to me. But over the years, I've come to truly appreciate what that means. The same thing that makes you strong also makes you weak. We have been such a strong people, such an open people. We've allowed many people to come here legally and illegally. They've come here legally without the best intentions. They say, "Well, you know what, we hate this country, we hate the United States of America, but since they're not going to just let us, you know, we can't take them down through military power because they have a strong military, we're going to have to work from inside. We're going to have to embed ourselves in their culture and take them over." And that's what's happened. It's not just Islamists, it's various groups. Liberal progressives, communists, those who believe that everybody should get one slice of bread every day, regardless of what you do. Those who believe it's okay for some people to stay at home, collect a welfare check, and do nothing productive in the society. It's just crazy what it has become. But that's the way it is. And we're here. A child refuses to say the Pledge of Allegiance to Mexico in an American flag in an American school, and they're the ones who are condemned. We're not allowed to have prayer in school. When I say prayer, it's not a matter of the instructor, the teacher, the principal of the school saying, here, you're going to pledge your allegiance to Jesus Christ. It's not that. It's to say a minute of silent meditation to encourage you to pray to whatever you believe in. Not allowed to do that anymore. We're not allowed to have faith. And they do everything to trash Christianity, take away the free, and the majority of people in this country are Christians. But Christians are actually afraid to speak up. Christians, and I mean, I know people that I talk to frequently who believe in this country and believe in the Constitution, who are Christians, and they say they're actually concerned for their own well-being. This government has gotten so tyrannical, and the culture has become so slanted, so divided, that they're scared to actually speak. And they talk to me, why do you keep saying it? Why are you doing this? And I said, well, live free or die. If I'm not willing to stand up for what I believe in with this country, then what am I? I said, I guess I understand why some people are concerned for their well-being. And who knows, I may get killed out there one day for what I believe. I don't know what will happen, but I have to believe in what I believe in. I happen to believe in the Constitution, and I happen to believe in being an American and those rights. So I'm not going to be quiet. So here I am. I don't have a lot of money. If I had the same money as Bloomberg, trust me, if I had anywhere near the money of Bloomberg, I would have signs plastered all over the interstate highways of how they're selling off our highway infrastructure to foreign entities. One world government via the highway. Okay, the other is, let's see, some are jealous and feel that if they don't have what we have, that we shouldn't have it either. Some want the power to control America. Whatever you want to call it, with this one world order mentality, personally, they all say it's the people are evil to the society. I don't think it's that they're concerned about protecting the globe, protecting the environment, and that people are harmful to the environment. I think it's a control thing, where they believe that they should have control over who does what, who the peasants are. But they claim it's because we're destroying it. And they say that because Americans have so much. We have so much. We have worked hard for what we have. And at one point, we had the most prosperous middle class in the world, but I don't think that's true today. But they want to take that away from us because they are jealous. They're mad. If we can't have a car and our own personal liberties and things like that, you can't have it either. Instead of it being the other way around, where America was supposed to be the example for others to follow, we try to force our will on others, and we allowed those who were anti-Americans to come and become embedded in this country. And we have many, many anti-Americans. It's not Al-Qaeda who's going to destroy us. It's not the known enemy like Al-Qaeda. It's those who hate America. We have people in Texas, mayors, who are totally anti the Alamo. They hate the Alamo. Yet they are in public office in Texas. And these people will eventually make their way up to Congress, I have no doubt. They hate America, and they will destroy America from within. Marco Rubio is anti-American. People are going to be mad that I would say that. Yeah, he's pro-Latino, pro the Hispanic community, anti-American. He will speak in Spanish instead of promoting and encouraging people to learn English. Learning English makes us a united people. One language. Everyone must have one common language. I don't care how many other languages you speak, but you know what? If you don't know the common language of this country, you are part of the problem. United we stand. Do you truly want to go to war, go to battle with a person you can't communicate with? And you know what? If Spanish had been the native language of this country, then that's what it would be. I would speak Spanish, but it's not the native language of this country. America was founded in English, not Spanish. And let's see, the sad truth is many of these people are in our own government and are working to destroy our country. But whatever the reason, and whoever the people are, if we don't band together and protect our country, then it will be us that will have to explain to our children and our grandchildren why we did not fight to save our republic and our freedom, so freedom that so many have given their lives to protect and defend. So what is happening? The UN Agenda 21, Sustainable Development, is what is happening. UN policies are creeping through our backyards and stealing our land and our freedom and our government, and our government is doing nothing to stop it, and they won't do anything unless we make them, throw them out of office, and take their place. Agenda 21 is a plan to destroy our right to own property and our right to be free. It will steal every aspect of our lives and replace it with total government control. It is a plan for global communism. One world order, people, that's what it is. One world order, one world government. That the United Nations is supposed to be the only military. That's what the plan is, people. That's what Agenda 21 is. Okay, back to her information. The communists figured out a long time ago that they could never spread their vermin in the same manner that they had been using in the past. Excuse me, venom. Let me say that again since I screwed that up. So they developed a way. Okay, the communists figured out a long time ago that they could never spread their venom in the same manner that they had been using in the past. So they developed a way to do it using the human desire of people to preserve our environment. It's so true. I was on the Orange County Soil and Water Conservation District. Yes, decent people protect the environment. Our life is dependent on it. We should respect the environment. But that doesn't mean we are the evil ones of the environment. So they are using the environment to steal our freedoms. Sustainable development is the term they use, but in reality, understand the effects of sustainable development. All you really need to know is what these people consider unsustainable. When you understand that, you will understand the end game. And that is true. Wait until you hear what they call unsustainable. From the Global Biodiversity Assessment Report, single-family homes, large hoofed animals, fences, dams, paddocks, irrigation, golf courses, ski runs, floors, floor and wall tile, agriculture, fossil fuels, grazing of animals, private property, refrigeration. This is a partial list, and if you are so inclined, you find that the complete list scattered amongst 1,000 pages in this book. Please take the time to learn about UN Agenda 21, and I mean the truth about Agenda 21. The truth is not pretty, and it paints an awful picture of America in the future. It is not a future. It is not a future I want to leave for my children and my grandchildren. I do not want that future for your children or your grandchildren either. That is why I will fight alongside many Americans that have found the truth and are fighting to stop this assault on our country, our Constitution, and our very existence. And, you know, this is so true. People have to understand what Agenda 21 is. I mean, what makes anybody think that the world loves America? They don't. They resent us, and for many reasons. Some resent us because they think we are occupiers in their countries. Others because they don't believe in what we do. They are envious of our success. And instead of changing their ways and being honest and correcting their own issues, they want to destroy us. Instead of changing their own ways, they want to destroy us. And I think you can say that right here with Mexico, our southern neighbor. Very corrupt government who doesn't have any respect for the U.S. They think we're supposed to take care of their people. They tell the people how to enter into this country illegally. And their own drug cartels and everything else control that government down there. It's a terrible situation. Those people don't care about the future of America. They want to destroy America. Many Mexicans think that they own America, that we took over their land, which isn't true. But when propaganda is taught in school, then that's what happens. Okay, America is the greatest country in the world, and we can remain the greatest country, but we have to take action, and we have to take action now. They are aware that Americans have caught on to what is happening, and they know they must act fast, and they are doing that. The Obama administration has kicked sustainable development into fourth gear, and they are racing to the finish line. President Obama, on June 9th, created Executive Order 13575, the White House Rule Council. Remember, none of these assaults are law. Executive order has been so abused, but we have two houses of Congress that let it go on. There needs to be massive change in what executive orders are supposed to be. Okay. They have all been passed by executive order in order to bypass Congress that would never vote to support these hideous proposals, or they are legislating using regulations. The EPA, HUD, USDA, just to name a few, are regulated. A few are regulated us to the point of total collapse in the horizon. This is the other aspect of it. It's all, you have to put it all together. And this is not a conspiracy notion. This is what's really happening. And you just got to look around. Get educated, get involved, get moving, join the fight. Karen Bracken, founder of America Don't Forget. And this is so true. I mean, I agree with everything she's gotten here. And again, well, she's got a partial list of what's considered unsustainable. Would it not make sense that in order to be sustainable, that we would first abolish and destroy what is considered unsustainable? Okay, paved, tarred roads. Okay, anything to do with, you know, highway, that's totally unsustainable. Personal automobiles, personal highways, all totally unsustainable. So for every American out there, just imagine what it would be like if you didn't have that automobile. You didn't have that bus system. You didn't have that trucking system coming across here. You couldn't go out there on the highway and go on vacation. They're doing everything they can to destroy that. Transportation is my pet peeve, or one of them. There's many, but I got into the transportation issue a long time ago. Logging activities, harvesting timber. And again, it's not like you can go out there. It's not the intent to go and destroy every tree on the planet. And that isn't what's happening. We have a lot of open space and we have a lot of forest. The forest fires that we have today, many of these forest fires are because we don't properly log the timber and we create the environment for them to happen. So the EPA method is truly destroying more of the environment than the people are. Power line construction, key resorts, golf courses, fossil fuels, agriculture equipment, pesticides, fertilizers, grazing of livestock, cows, sheep, goats, horses, etc., plowing of soil, building of fences, dams, reservoirs, straightening of rivers, single-family homes and industry, private property, population growth, homeschooling. The other thing which she doesn't have listed on here, and I'm going to go ahead and add it, and she has some more information, so I'll get to that in a minute. But the other thing is smart growth. If you've ever heard smart growth, that's all part of Agenda 21, sustainable development. Smart growth, where they try to make you live and work and survive in a community. And the communities usually look quite nice. We have one here called Baldwin Park. We've got several of them around Central Florida. But Baldwin Park is one of them. And it really is kind of neat. If you can truly live and work right in that community, it's almost like a glorified subdivision, but it's got businesses and housing all together, where in many cases you could walk to your job, that would be fine, but it's not realistic. And it's not realistic for, not in a free society, it's not realistic to think the people of one household are going to work in the family business right there, that somebody's not going to have to travel. And here they've done what they could to limit access. They narrow roads, small driveways. They park a large SUV in the driveway and it sticks out in the street. And just a variety of things that they do. And it's not sustainable in a realistic, not in a free society. This is what happens if you become the peasants and the sheeple and they tell you where you're going to live and how you're going to work and everything else. That's what that is about. So I'm going to float back over here. Let's see. Okay. Well, nobody wants to talk. I can't believe it. Quiet gang out there tonight. But we will keep on going here. I'll get back to. Okay, Agenda 21, quotes from Agenda 21, Habitat, infamous people. They are infamous to me and should be to you too. Agenda 21 is a comprehensive plan of action to be taken globally, nationally, and locally by organizations of the United Nations system, governments, and major groups in every area in which human SIC impacts the government. Think long and hard about this statement. Okay, let's go over it again. Agenda 21 is a comprehensive plan of action to be taken globally, nationally, and locally by organizations of the United Nations systems, governments, and major groups in every area in which human, SIC, impacts on the government, on the environment. Excuse me, can't talk, can't read. Think long and hard about the statement. And that's it. Agenda 21 is one world order, one world government. And by the way, who do you think started Agenda 21? Who do you think got the United States of America into Agenda 21, United Nations takeover Agenda 21? Do you think it was a Democrat? Do you think it was a Republican? It was a Republican. A Republican by the name of George Bush Sr. He did it back in 1992 when he signed us on to the Rio Doctrine that, and you can go out there on the YouTube, find the YouTube for it, where he says we're approaching a new world order. A new world order. Those were his words. And the Bushes have always promoted that. So, you know, we hear different talk about Jeb Bush out there too. No. I did not support George Bush. He was out there with his Security Prosperity Partnership of North America, which was, in essence, the North American Union, the collusion, whatever you want to call it, of Canada, the U.S., and Mexico to be one big happy world. That's why he never wanted to secure the border. That's why they were building the superhighway from Mexico up to Canada. And this is all part of one world order. The Bushes have been very, very much one world order. And Jeb Bush is no different. And the Bushes have been a key player in destroying education, public education. And they always make it sound so nice. No child left behind. Race to the top. All these things that make it sound so noble, so honorable. It's like the right thing. These people are the masters of marketing. And I tell you, when you see, you know what you see on TV commercials, but it's the same thing in politics. These people twist the words, slant it. They put this pretty face on it, but then they go and have several thousands pages of documentation of what it really means, so that nobody knows. Any politician, elected so-called public servant, so-called representative, who allows this crap to go on with these 1,000 pages of documentation, they are destroying this country because they don't want the people to know. They forget that we're supposed to be the ones in charge. But then again, the 300 million people, 300 million Americans versus the 545 seem to have forgotten that we're in charge too. We're the ones who are supposed to be dictating what goes on here, not them. They're supposed to be representing us and speaking on our behalf, not the dictators of us. But that's what's happened. Okay, then we go into this next. Land cannot be treated as ordinary. And I mean, I have read this so many times in the Agenda 21 stuff. This is it. Go out there and look for yourself. Go to the United Nations website, look up Agenda 21. And again, they've changed it. Agenda 21, people started to know what it was, understand what was going on with it. And then they went and changed it to sustainable development, again, to make it sound nice. Agenda 21 sounds like an agenda, but sustainable development sounds so positive, so like such a good thing. Why would anybody oppose sustainable development? Why would anybody oppose Common Core for education? They sound so nice. It's a brainwashing propaganda to the max. Okay. Land cannot be treated as an ordinary asset, controlled by the individual and subject to the pressures and inefficiencies of the market. Private land ownership is also a principal instrument of accumulation and concentration of wealth, and therefore contributes to social injustice. If checked, it may become a major obstacle in the planning and implementation of development schemes. Public control of land use is therefore indispensable. This quote is from the preamble of the UN Policy on Land, Report of Habitat, UN Nation Conference on Human Settlements. This is what they believe. And I'm telling you, if you're an American who owns a home or wants to own a home or even to own a condo, you're not going to be allowed to. You're not allowed to own land. That's why they're trying to destroy the family farms. We've had people on the show, Baker's Green Acres, the state of Michigan, Michigan Department of Natural Resources, hassling a family farm. A family farm that was organic, that is organic. They're still there. They're fighting. If you can do anything to help these people out, please do. But it's the state taking over. And it's called ICLEI, the International Local Environmental Initiatives, of government, Environmental Initiatives. I think I said that right. That's how this is Agenda 21 at the local level. There's local Agenda 21. These are things that are being done at the state level and at the local level. And again, it all ties back to getting money from the feds. And again, it sounds so nice. Environmental protection sounds nice. And I definitely very much respect the environment. I don't want to trash it. But that doesn't mean I don't have the right to own a home. Owning a home does not trash the environment. These people want us to live in shacks that when a hurricane comes in, they all get destroyed. They don't believe in private property. And you go back to John Adams and George Washington and the founders. Liberty is tied to your rights to own private property. You will have no liberty if you have no rights to own private property. That's not the exact quote. That's the meaning of it. But it's the truth. And this is what they're doing. This is the destruction of this country. And are Americans willing to surrender? The whole question for tonight's show. Are Americans willing to surrender their rights to the United Nations? Because that's where we're going right now. That is where we are at right this moment. And this is the nonsense. Sustainable development means you're giving your rights away to the United Nations. Sustainable development means you are not allowed to own a home. Sustainable development means you're not allowed to own a car. Sustainable development means air conditioning is not allowable. The consumption of fossil fuels is not allowable. It's not sustainable. Everything to do with the culture of the United States, they are trashing. Your rights to own private property, your rights to eat meat, your rights to have a private personal vehicle, your rights to have air conditioning. This is what it is. Okay, participating in a UN advocate planning process would very likely bring out many who would actively work to defeat any elected official undertaking local Agenda 21. So we will call our process something else, such as comprehensive planning, growth management, or smart growth. Remember I said smart growth? This is what they call it to brainwash people. 1998, J. Gary Lawrence, a planner for the city of Seattle, an advisor to the President's Council on Sustainable Development. So I'm going to read that again so you understand what that means. This is a quote. Participating in a UN advocate planning process would very likely bring out many who would actively work to defeat any elected official undertaking local Agenda 21. So we will call our process something else, such as comprehensive planning, growth management, or smart growth. End quote. And I'll tell you, how many times you go at the state level, comprehensive planning. You go to your county level, comprehensive planning, growth management, smart growth. Those are the buzzwords to make it sound nice and make it acceptable. They don't want the people to know the truth. This is what it is. And are the American people going to sit on the sidelines and just say, yeah, we surrender our rights to the United Nations? The United Nations, come over, come on, take over the United States of America. The United States of America is no more. The fall of the United States at the hands of the United Nations and at the hands of the American people. Individual rights, let's see, here we go, another quote. individual rights will have to take a backseat to the collective. And this is Harvey Rubin, vice chairman of ICLEI. Harvey Rubin is now the city clerk in Miami-Dade County, Florida. Yeah, this guy has bad news big time. That's the ICLEI was what I was mentioning earlier, the International Council of Local Environmental Initiatives. Go out there and see that if your city is part of ICLEI. I'll say 99% chance it is. Orlando, Florida is, and so is Orange County, Florida. Most of Florida is in ICLEI. The different counties and cities, municipalities, are part of ICLEI, and this is the United Nations International Council of Local Environmental Initiatives. The United Nations is dictating to your local community what you're supposed to do. Is that American? Why is the United Nations dictating to the United States? We should totally, and Rand Paul, both the Pauls, said we need to be out of the United Nations. But how many of those people do you know in Washington, D.C., if a vote was put out there, and there's probably been proposals, but to say that the United States withdraws from the United Nations, stops funding the United Nations, how many do you think would have the backbone to do it? How many of the 545 traitors, the percentage of them that are traitors in Washington, D.C., would pull us out of the United Nations? We do not belong in the United Nations. It's nothing but a corrupt global initiative like this. And we're the ones paying for it. I don't know what they think is going to happen when the American people don't have the money to support them, because we are truly the ones that support that organization. Okay, another quote here. Isn't the only hope for the planet that the industrialized civilization collapse? Question mark. Isn't it our responsibility to bring that about? Maurice Strong, founder of the United Nations Environmental Program. Now, I'll say it again. Isn't the only hope for the planet that is that the industrialized civilizations collapse? The collapse of the United States. It's right there. The United Nations is trying to collapse the United States. Isn't it our responsibility to bring that about? And you can go out there and read these statements right off the Agenda 21 stuff. I've seen the stuff out there before. I know it's there. Okay, generally more highly educated people who have higher incomes consume more resources than poorly educated people who tend to have lower incomes. In this case, more education increases the threat of sustainability. Education for Sustainable Development Guide, and that's where you'll find that. Generally, more highly educated people who have higher incomes consume more resources than poorly educated people who tend to have lower incomes. In this case, more education increases the threat of sustainability. This is why they're pushing Common Core. Dumb down the people, control what they do, control what they live, control their ability to own property. That's what this is about. And this is under Education for Sustainable Development Guide. So you can go out there and look for it. Then we do, here's the last quote here. And this comes from good old Bill Gates. Bill Gates is so disgusting. And I'll tell you, I wish there was some way to totally get rid of Microsoft. If I could figure some way that we could do that, I would love it. And Bill Gates, he's the success story of the society. He is what he is today because of the opportunities that the society gave him, and he's out there trying to trash it right now. Okay, here we go. This is, again, a quote from Bill Gates. If we do a really great job on new vaccines, healthcare, reproductive health services, we could lower the population by perhaps 10 or 15%. This is Bill Gates. If we do a great job on new vaccines, this is why we tell people, you know, the vaccines are part of the scam. If we do a really great job on new vaccines, healthcare, productive health services, we could lower, not increase, lower the population by perhaps 10 to 15%. What do you think healthcare is? What do you think Obamacare is going to do? Obamacare isn't going to improve your health care. It's going to lower it. That's part of the plan. Anyway, this is, again, this was Karen Bracken. This was an email that she sent out. Go to www.americadontforget.com and what is happening to my country. Karen, I totally agree with you, and thank you so much for sending that out. It's so true. She's hit on some of the key points that people have to understand. That's what it means. This is what it's about. Okay, let's see here. On that note, what are you doing? What are you, as an American, doing to protect sovereignty of this country? What are you willing to do? Are you willing to defend the Constitution? If you truly don't believe in the Second Amendment, I'm going to have to be honest, if you don't believe in the Second Amendment, you're probably not listening to this show. You're probably someplace else. But if you're out there listening and you do not believe in the Second Amendment and you think that the American people should be disarmed, please call and explain why. I enjoy listening to other sides of you so I can understand what makes people tick or try to understand. And I'd like to know why. And for every one of you, the illegals who come here or the others who migrate here from other places because they were seeking freedom, why are you willing to surrender it? Or were you coming over here as truly an anti? You came over here pretending to want to be an American, but the truth is you are an anti coming over here to destroy this country. And there are many of you out there. I have no doubt. There are many of you. There are those who genuinely love what this country stands for and would fight for it and tell us. I mean, I know a Korean lady, when I was talking to her about Common Core and her grandchild, she said, wait a minute, that's what I came here for. We came here because we couldn't get the education we wanted to in Korea. And we came here, so we can't let this happen. The American people can't let this happen. So when you talk to the immigrants who actually understand who were fleeing communism and socialism, this isn't what they want for this country. But unfortunately, I think in too many cases, just like most Americans, not just these individuals, so many Americans don't know what's going on. They are focused on the football game and doing their work and taking care of their family. And football or whatever pro sports it is they happen to be playing at the moment. I think pro sports when it comes to things that have distractions, pro sports, they did it as a distraction. And I don't think it started out that way, but they manipulate it. They manipulate it as a way to divert the attention. And all the games they play with the political process, the election process, everything they do to take away or distract the people from the facts. And I'm telling you, everybody who knows me knows I was a Ron Paul fan for years, still am. He's out there coming up with a thing for education, what a true curriculum would be, where the child would actually learn what the Constitution is and learn what freedom and liberty is. I'm still looking at the whole program. I don't his whole process. So I don't know if I buy into all of it, but I do like some of it. But we've got to get these people who actually will believe in what this Constitution is. I support the Rand Paul and some of the things his. There's some pieces of his immigration thing I still have some question about. But to his point, he says, truly, we already have a de facto amnesty going on right now. But he ties anything to do with any legal status, that doesn't happen until the border is secured. And because of that, I'm telling you, I push. I have sent emails out there. I have called different offices. And I have sent faxes to these various offices of those who seem to believe in the Constitution, such as Rand Paul and Ted Cruz and some of the others, to get them to filibuster gun control and the immigration garbage and to do something with education. But right now we know these bills are coming up specifically for immigration where they want to rush it through. They want to cram it through the system, and even I'll give Mr. Rubio his credit, his whatever. He has been out there. He said we have to take the process slow and let the people see what the plan is, see what the policy is. Well, Senator Leahy out there, he wants to cram it through, rush it through. The people don't need to know. Anybody that votes on that thing who has not read it, these are the traitors. It's a treasonous action for you to sign on, vote for public policy when you haven't even read the public policy. It's a treasonous traitor action. You people need to be replaced. You need to be impeached, recalled, whatever it is. You need to be taken to task for your violation of your fiduciary duty and the violation of your oath of office. You should never, never be voting for something that you have not read, and you cannot justify to your own constituents why you would vote for it. And all this garbage, they slip in stuff in these bills that has nothing to do with the other thing. It is so anti-American. Those are acts of treason. They are acts of treason, and you are, in fact, a traitor if you do it. And when it comes to the stuff on this immigration policy, I am whatever I can do to encourage and motivate those senators in the House. The House can filibuster, too. The people in the House and in the Senate, the true believers of the Constitution, to go out there, filibuster those bills, and read the bill on the floor. Read every single stinking word of that bill on the floor where, one, the people of the United States get to hear it, know what it is, because they don't want us to know. Their transparency is a mud puddle. There is no transparency. And also, this way, there can be no elected public elitist servants up there who can say that they didn't know what was in the bill. Get past the stupid mentality of Pelosi of, we have to pass the bill to see what's in it. No. When you pass the bill to see what's in it, that is an act of treason. Yes, Nancy Pelosi, you are guilty of treason. You're a traitor. You are a traitor to the people, and you sacrifice the middle class and the lower income people with your stupid mentality. But you're not the only one doing it. It's one big party. For anybody to truly believe there's something different between these two parties, you're fooling yourself. There isn't. There's nothing different. Nothing. Absolutely nothing different about these things. You get a little bit here and there where, you got Rand Paul, who's registered as a Republican, but he's truly a constitutionalist. But because the system is so corrupt, people run under one of the two parties because that's the only way you can run. And that's why we've got to totally clean up the elections. Open primaries across the board. And you know what? In Florida here, people, if you would just leave the party, become a no-party affiliate, become an American, own your vote, and be an American, no allegiance to any political party. As Ben Carson is out there saying, he's a no-party affiliate, he's an American. Be an American, they would be forced to open up that primary. There would be so little, they wouldn't know what people were wanting or expecting if the majority of people would totally be outside the two political parties. And then we can force that change. It is our ballot box. We do own that ballot box, even though they would never want you to know that. So we've got to do that. We've got to be united as one people. And we've got to demand, going back to the filibuster, gun control and immigration. Demand they filibuster on both floors. Demand the bill be read on the public record. Demand we have the time for the people to know what it is. And they won't do it. Well, I should say, the Patrick Leahys out there, they don't want this done because they don't want you to know. Keep the peasants stupid. We're too stupid to understand. We're too dumb. They can't tell us anything. We don't understand. We don't understand what illegal immigration is. And all this craziness, everybody knows the facts are illegal immigration costs us a lot more money than it gets. In the case of the illegal Mexicans, it's well known that they send most of their money back to Mexico, not here. It does not help our economy while we are forced, the other taxpayers, to pay for their public services, their welfare, their health care, all the other things they get free when they're working under the table without paying taxes. The only taxes they pay are going to be the sales taxes when they buy something. They don't pay taxes. They do not pay their fair share of taxes, and the money goes back to their home country. So illegal immigration is not a good deal. But illegal immigration is not limited to Mexico, and it's not limited to those who come over the border illegally. It's also about those who come here in the front door and never leave because the system is broke, that they don't enforce it. We have this thing called Homeland Security. It just doesn't have anything to do with it. It's Homeland Insecurity. It truly is Homeland Insecurity. Let's see. In my own case, like I said, I'll go ahead and mention it again. Reminder, next week we start. Here's what I'm doing to help fight the cause, support the Constitution, and to show that I do not want the UN, one world order, one world government. American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, next week we start having Truth About Education. Starting this week. Wednesday at 8 p.m., Truth About Education, Diane Kepis, and this is going to be a weekly report. She's going to, once a week, Wednesday, 8 p.m., give people information on what's going on, what it really is, what Common Core is, what's happening to our educational system, the dumbing down of Americans, and also what's happening at the legislative level, too. Diane is here from Florida, so she'll be talking probably more to Tallahassee, but she's going to be bringing other people in because we need to know, everybody needs to know. State legislatures are out there voting for this Common Core stuff all over the place, and the people don't know. The parents don't know. The parents don't understand what's happening to their own kids. And we're all sacrificing. Here they want to get rid of the printed book. They want to have everything on some kind of electronic media so that they can change it. Just at how easy it is to go and corrupt the printed book when it's on a electronic version, and they can go out there and cut and paste and take things out the way they want to. And you can't quite do that so easily in a printed book. And of course, we have those who are out there manipulating the printed book as well. So we're going to be doing that every Wednesday, 8 p.m., Truth About Education. And then this Thursday, please tune in this Thursday. It's Florida Notary Fraud. Does being a public notary public give you the right or to commit fraud? Is it the license to commit fraud? Here in Florida, it kind of looks that way. And we're going to get into the details. Tom Pastore is going to be on the show. He's going to go over his investigative report. He's done a lot of research on this in the last few months. And I think you're going to find some really interesting things about what's going on here in Florida. And you got to tie it. Wait a minute. Let's see. Florida's number one in identity theft, number one in property theft. It's hard to tell exactly how much notary fraud has played into the mortgage fraud issue, but it's no doubt a part of it, too. And how many people just think that notary stamp is something real? How many people never think to challenge the notary stamp? When a legal document has that notary stamp on there, they just automatically assume it's valid, and they don't think twice about it. And then, if you were proactive as a consumer and you want to make sure the notary was honest, how would you do that? Tune in Thursday. You're going to find out some stuff that's really pretty scary. And while this report focuses on Florida policy, Florida law, I don't think it's a whole lot different. There's definitely some things different with Florida. In fact, there's even one that says being a notary public in Florida is a unique thing, or somehow it makes reference to Florida being unique when it comes to the notary public. And again, I don't want to talk too much because we're going to get into it Thursday. Please tune in. I think you will find it very interesting and eye-opening as to what's going on with Florida notary publics and probably notary publics across the country. And then, let's see, next week we will be kicking off the weekly transportation report. I have been talking to some other people. We're getting more people engaged. We really do need to get the group of citizens with a backbone who are willing to challenge the state of Florida on the public-private partnerships. We're going to talk about that. we're going to make this a means to share information with transportation advocates across the countryside, those who are protesting. We've got groups in Texas who are protesting all these crazy toll roads, selling off of public infrastructure to a foreign company named Sentra. And the same here, stopping the I-95 tolls. I believe they might even have some of them in South Florida already. I'm not sure. They definitely have tolls on I-75 in South Florida. But they're working on putting tolls all the way up and down I-95 along this whole eastern coast. We have got to stop this. It's tax dollars fund this stuff. Then they go and sell it off to a foreign entity and can charge you all sorts of crazy prices while they do all this at the detriment to transportation. And it all plays into Agenda 21, control the people. We need the interstate highway system. It was created by Eisenhower. It was one of the biggest booms to our economy. It's a lifeline to our economy, to our national security, to our emergency evacuations, to law enforcement, not to mention our overall quality of life and the economy. I mean, the economy depends on that thing. So for these people, these elected elitists, to go and try to harm the people through transportation is unacceptable. So, again, next week we start the weekly transportation report, and we're going to do the whole point is to, one, make sure people know what's going on. Remember to call AAA, the American Automobile Association, 50 million members, and they're not representing their members on this. They're not doing what they should be doing. We need to get them engaged in this discussion, and we need to let people know what's really happening, because toll is a four-letter word for tax. Your cost of living goes up. Your access to transportation goes down. Your quality of life goes down. It's absolutely unacceptable for what they're doing. And we will be bringing the various groups together. Excuse me. The whole point is to share this information so all the various groups who are out there doing this now have a means to communicate and let everybody know, and then get a mass, hopefully get some things going where we have a mass phone call attack on the Department of Transportation at your state level, at the federal level, at your local county levels. Go out there and take action and take back our highway system. It is our country. It is our highway system. They have no business selling public assets to foreign entities or surrendering the rights of the American people to the United Nations. This is what these people do. It's terrible. And it can only happen if Americans surrender their rights. Are you going to surrender your rights to the United Nations? Are you going to surrender your rights to 545 self-serving elitist politicians? Or are you, the people, 300 million American patriots, going to stand up and be counted? And on that note, I will close with my favorite, the American's Creed, and then we will take it from there. Okay, American's Creed by William Tyler Page. I believe in the United States of America as a government of the people, by the people, for the people, whose just powers are derived from the consent of the governed, a democracy and a republic, a sovereign nation of many sovereign states. Hear that again, a sovereign nation of many sovereign states, a perfect union, one and inseparable, established upon the principles of freedom, equality, justice, and humanity, for which American patriots sacrifice their lives and fortunes. I therefore believe it is my duty to my country to love it, to support its constitution, to obey its laws, to respect its flag, and to defend it against all enemies. I want to read that last one again, because this is what it's about, people. Where are you on this? Do you believe in this American's Creed? I therefore believe it is my duty to my country to love it, to support its constitution, to obey its laws, to respect its flag, and to defend it against all enemies. Are you willing to defend the United States against all enemies? And that means foreign and domestic people. We have got to accept the fact we have anti-Americans amongst us, and they are in critical places. Are you going to let them take down this country? This was written back in 1917, and it was accepted by the United States House of Representatives on April 3rd, 1918. And let's see, I will give anybody, I'll take one last peek at that chat room, because I have not seen any comments out there. I see people out there, but they're being very quiet, not sharing their thoughts, which is okay. And the callers, nobody wanted to jump in tonight, and that's okay, too. I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up. I'll stop the show just a few minutes early. And thank you for tuning in. Please tune in Wednesday, Truth About Education. Thursday, notary fraud. Is being a public notary a license to commit fraud? Please tune in, and thank you, and may God bless and protect the USA. Please be united as Americans. Please be Americans. Be involved. Be engaged. We must be united as one people, or the fall of the United States of America is going to be upon us. Once again, God, please bless the USA. Good night, everyone.